This is the Employer Chronicles with your hosts, Rick Grimaldi and Lori Armstrong-Halber, attorneys at Fisher Phillips, specializing in management, labor, and employment law. The opinions expressed on this program are solely that of the hosts. This is not legal advice. If you do want legal advice, please consult with a lawyer.
Hi, I'm Lori Armstrong-Halber.
And I'm Rick Grimaldi. Welcome to this edition of the Employer Chronicles, where we provide insight and stories from our experience on the front lines of the workplace.
Today, we're going to be talking about probably one of the most important skills or skill sets that you can have as an effective leader: communication and listening.
Yes, and let me start with a little exercise, Lori, if you will. Indulge me for a second.
Go right ahead.
So you're a bus driver, and the bus is beautiful. It's a big old, like a Greyhound bus. Now they call it like the big bus or something. Anyway, it's very colorful. It's got red and purple and yellow and green, and it's got it's like a double decker, and it's a lovely bus. And it's going from Philadelphia to Harrisburg, and it's making several stops along the way. So the first stop's at 30th Street Station.
Wait a minute. I feel like I'm in junior high and I'm doing a word problem.
Maybe. So the first stop is at 30th Street Station, the railroad station in Philadelphia, and there 25 people get on the bus. And they're all carrying various forms of luggage. Some of them are students, and four of them carrying backpacks, the big old backpacks you travel around the country with. You make your next stop in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, at the big mall there, and seven more people get on the bus, while five actually get off, and the five that get off are carrying suitcases. Your next stop is in Reading, Pennsylvania, and there, eight people get off the bus, three people get on the bus carrying duffel bags, all of them blue. The next stop is Morgantown, Pennsylvania, where seven people get off the bus, two people get on carrying luggage, and the bus moves on from there, and you arrive in Harrisburg. What's the shoe size of the bus driver?
I know the answer.
What?
Well, I've heard this before, but the shoe size of my pretty little foot is eight.
Ah, yes. Well, then you were listening. And the purpose of this, while you may have thought it was a word problem, it's actually a listening exercise. And it's one of those things where there's a lot of information, and so many people immediately take their pens and papers, and if you weren't cheating on this, which you could do by rewinding, I suppose, you would have maybe gone through it and tried to add up all the various scenarios. But in reality, it was about sort of listening from the very beginning. And we talk about this exercise because there's an old parable that says, between what I think I want to say, what I believe I'm saying, what I say, what you want to hear, what you believe you understand, and what you understand, there are at least nine possibilities for misunderstanding. Now, why do you think that is?
Well, I can think of one reason.
Why?
Think about when you're having a conversation with someone and the other person is talking. Most of the time, people are not listening with the intent to understand. They are listening with the intent to reply. They're thinking about, what am I going to say next?
You're a Stephen Covey disciple.
I am, actually.
Well, that's and one of the seven effective things that you can do is obviously learn how to listen more properly. And so that's exactly right. And what often happens in the context of work, for example, and when you're managing people, is that you're in the middle of a very busy workday and you've got all sorts of things going on. You may have had a very bad morning. You may have had a flat tire or an accident on the way. The person you're talking to may have all sorts of things going on in their lives. And nobody's sort of listening to what each other are saying. They're already thinking about what they're going to say next. And typically then that creates an opportunity for a miscommunication or misunderstanding. And in the context of work, that can also ultimately be viewed as a performance issue because somebody fails to do something potentially that they were asked to do, they heard it exactly the way they heard it.
How do you fix it?
Well, there are a bunch of ways, right, that you can fix it. One thing is that you need to listen, right? I mean, my grandmother, who's 100, always said that, you know, you have two eyes and two ears and one mouth for a reason. You should be listening and observing twice as much as you're speaking. And so if you are on the receiving end of a communication, one very good way is to try to sort of parrot back, for example, what somebody says.
Well, you don't mean mimicking.
No, I don't mean mimicking, but making sure that you understand and that the other person, the person that's delivering the message, knows that you understand what they asked for. You've now reduced those 9 possibilities of miscommunication. Even in a loud, fast-paced environment, that will slow the conversation down a little bit. And you can pace that other person that way.
So if I'm the recipient of the information, I could say something like, I want to make sure I understood what you said correctly. This is what I understood, blah, 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 blah. And then the person who is speaking will say, yeah, that's what I meant, or no, and then they can clarify.
Right. And what you did, I think, is particularly effective because you owned it. You said, I want to make sure I understood what you said, versus you didn't say what you're not being clear, Rick, which I know can often be the case, but you took that burden off of me and would have made me less defensive.
How about if you're the leader and you have a suspicion that the person you're speaking to wasn't giving you their full attention? Because I'm pretty sure that, hey, you're not listening to me, probably doesn't get the reaction you want.
Guessing it doesn't motivate somebody to go do what it is you'd like to have done. I think one of the things you can do is you can ask them if you were being clear and say, help me, you know, I'd asked maybe ABC, and you again own it and say, I want to make sure I'm communicating clearly to you.
Keeps people from being defensive.
Right.
Well, and I think that brings up another point. Communication is two parts, and the listening part is, to use a football analogy,
which you love to do.
I do. Is the wide receiver receiving the pass, but there's a first part in that communication, and that's the person throwing the ball, the quarterback, or the person who's doing the speaking. And one of the keys to effective communication is to really be thoughtful in how you're speaking to someone. And I know we use our personal stories, anecdotes to illustrate this, and I'm going to share one on behalf of my now college-age daughter, but she was 12 at the time.
Throwing your daughter under the bus, eh?
I sure am. So she, at 12, was in sixth grade, which was the top of the elementary school, you know, kind of the big kids on campus. And at the beginning of the year, the principal decided to cancel all the school dances. She wanted to move in a different direction, I guess. And I guess if you're a sixth grade girl, that's very traumatic, because Alex came home to me and said, Mom, I can't believe the principal did this. I'm so upset. We have to do something about it. And I sort of laughed and said, we don't have to do anything. I've already been to sixth grade, but I'm happy to help you and your friends figure out, you know, what you want to say and to go back and ask the principal to reconsider. And so they did that. And the principal met with them, and that's the last they heard of it. Now keep that in mind. We'll come back to that. So fast forward a few months, and the principal does the second most egregious thing a principal of a sixth grader can do and changes the dress code to outlaw pajama pants. Can you imagine? It's traumatic.
The horror.
Awful. So my daughter, who felt she was not heard in her first communication, sent an...
And actually rightly so, it would appear.
True.
By the way.
And sent an, I'm using air quotes, an anonymous email to the principal. Guess what? No such thing as anonymous email.
There's a shocker.
So in this anonymous email, she said, Dear Principal, I, for one, think your new rule on pajama pants is terrible, in all caps. What do we think about all caps, Rick?
Not ever a good idea when you send something in all caps. It's the equivalent of yelling at somebody.
And yelling is never okay at work.
Absolutely right.
So she goes on in her email to say, can you think of anything else that makes school not fun at all? ! Et cetera, et cetera. The reason why kids' grades are going down and is because you guys are making it nothing but hard and not fun. Kids can get sick from being bored, you know. Your favorite part of the email, 87% says so.
I have you ever asked her who she polled to get to that 87%?
No, I really should. So she goes on to say, what's wrong with pajama pants? All of the kids hate you because of your stupid rules. You just don't get it. Just leave us kids alone, and not as many kids will be sitting in detention. Sincerely, all, big caps, of the kids at school that hate your stinking rules. And by the way, guess what the anonymous email account was entitled?
Do say.
Your school rules suck at yahoo.com.
Very nice. I bet you're a very proud parent.
One of my proudest parenting moments ever. Needless to say, I get a phone call from the principal, who proceeds to tell me about the bullying email she received from a student. I'm a relatively intelligent person. I determined that if she was calling me, it had to do with one of my kids. And I waited for her to drop.
Never one to miss the obvious.
Yes, right? Drop the boot, as it were, and say, yes, and your daughter Alex sent it. So, long story short, she ended up being suspended from school for her bullying email. Now, I won't defend the disrespectful nature of the email or the inartful email. I might quibble with whether or not I thought it constituted classroom bullying and whether suspension was the best matched consequence for her conduct. But suffice it to say, she and I spent her suspension day together in Borders Bookstore. I miss Borders. And we had a long conversation about civil disobedience and respectful communication. And this is the lesson and the reason I share the story. I said, if somebody says to you, that thing you said or that thing you did is stupid, or is yelling at you, are you interested in listening to what they have to say? And Alex said, no. And I said, if somebody sent you an email that basically said, you suck, would you be interested in anything they had to say? And she said, no. And I said, the problem here, Alex, is whatever you had to say never got heard. And because of the way you chose to communicate, the worst part is the principal will likely never want to hear what you have to say. And so the lesson for all of us is if you want someone to listen to you, you have to communicate in a way that makes them want to listen.
Yeah, and you know, it's really difficult to for us as leaders or managers to understand that. We assume, because we're in a, quote, position of authority, that people will automatically listen to us for that reason alone. And you and I both know from doing this for so long that that is completely the opposite of usually how it works out. If you are brusque, if you are condescending, if you yell, if you are overly demanding in the way you deliver information, people tend to resist as opposed to become motivated, right? And employees might go so far as to get a little employee equity, right?
Take a day off, take a little longer to do the project,
right.
Not be invested. Well, and the other point is, really as a leader, number one, it's our job to make our employees more successful. And so it's our job to help them understand what our goals are, what the missions are, what the values are.
That's why we get the big bucks.
That's right. And number two, and this is illustrated by the principal's failure, when our employees come to us with ideas or suggestions, it is our job to listen to those and to provide feedback. So the principal could have said, you know what, we hear you, Alex, we're going to overturn our decision. Or could have said, well, we're going to reinstitute dances for the sixth grade class, or we've really thought about what you have to say, but we're not able to do that, and here's why.
So there's the other lesson, right? As you said, some of the responsibility was on this principal. And here's another takeaway. You as a leader, we want to get, in part of making our employees successful is to get them to feel like they have skin in the game, buy-in. And they'll be more happy, or happier, I should say, if that's the case. And one way to do that is allow them to participate, to make suggestions and ask questions. But the key there is when they do it and you tell them, I'll get back to you, get back to them. They may not expect that you're going to accept every idea they have, but at the very least, they will respect you and your company as well. And they'll know that you're listening because you've gotten back to them. And that's what matters, because then they'll be engaged.
So a couple of takeaways before we leave you with this episode. Again, when you're communicating, think about your audience and make sure you're communicating in a way that they want to hear what you have to say. Two, if you're listening, try really listening. Here's a quick exercise. Take somebody, sit in a corner for 2 minutes, ask them questions. You're not allowed to talk back. It's an amazingly inciting experience in that you learn what it's like to actually listen when you can't talk back. And thirdly,
it's very hard for many of us.
And thirdly, practice parroting. And you have to do it in a way that it doesn't come across like mimicry, because that's offensive. But, you know, things like, and use I speak. I want to make sure I understood what you had to say. Or I want to make sure I was clear in what I'm saying. Sometimes I'm not always that clear. And that puts people in a more comfortable position to be better able to communicate with you.
Awesome stuff. I think that's about it, or at least all we have this time. Thank you all for tuning in, and to the extent that you want to communicate with us, we'd love to get your feedback. You can find us at our Twitter handle, which is at Employer Chronicles.
Or you can find us on our day job website at www.fisherphillips.com.
Excellent, Lori. And until next time, see you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Employer Chronicles. The opinions expressed on this program are solely that of the hosts. This is not legal advice. If you do want legal advice, please consult with a lawyer. To contact Rick Grimaldi, you can email him at rgrimaldi@fisherphillips.com. To contact Lori Armstrong-Halber, you can email her at lhalber@fisherphillips.com. Or you can find them both on the web at fisherphillips.com.